Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, March 7th. We're here with you. Charlotte is here.
Yes.
Charlotte can be counted on to be here every day, folks. That's a big, big accomplishment. Because we have some past stories that we don't want to talk about anymore, but it used to be where I would not know. And this is not with Mia, by the way. I want you guys to know. So I'm not talking about her. But there have been past co-hosts that would barely make it here on time without naming names. So it was pretty stressful for me to start the show every day, you know.
Being late is one of my pet peeves.
Yeah,
so
I
try my damnedest not to be late.
I know.
And obviously, like, every now and again, I might be late to something, but it's not on purpose.
Right.
Or from traffic.
Or from negligence or anything.
Yeah, no.
And you're not going to blame it on the traffic.
No.
Which is, yeah, people's favorite thing here because it's always an easy cop-out. But I always tell people I've lived here 30 years. I've never been late to anything. And I deal with the same traffic that you do. So don't give me this bullshit, you know?
Exactly.
And especially when, you know, people are here doing radio shows and they're supposed to be a guest here, you know? But, of course, we were talking about a co-host, so I don't know if I'm not being reasonable.
It was a daily thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm not being reasonable there, but it did bother me. So I'm grateful you're here every morning on time, and it helps that you live close, too, so you don't have a traffic excuse.
I have no excuse. I could walk here in 3 minutes, so I think it takes me just as long to drive,
yeah,
which shows how lazy
probably.
I am because I drive here.
Yeah. No, but that's, I mean, I would too, you know, and I was telling my guest before you came in here that if I was a beautiful woman, I wouldn't walk it either because you're going to get harassed just getting here in those 3 minutes. You know, you're going to get honked at and whistled at and,
yeah,
and catcalled and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, that's what happens because it's very unusual to see people walking in LA, you know? So when you drive like on a street like Woodman here where nobody walks and suddenly you're going to see a beautiful woman, you're going to cause some accidents, you
mm-hmm.
know? I mean, easily.
I think I'd feel flattered if I caused an accident.
Oh, really? Okay, then start walking for crying out loud, you know? Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to walk in my heels.
Yeah.
I can only walk so far. Without.
Well, if you really wanted to, you put on like a walking shoes and then change them, right?
So.
But yeah, but what the hell? If you need exercise, get it somewhere else. Not on your way to work.
I do need exercise.
Don't we all, right? So there's a lot to talk about. We got our publicity pictures back. And do you like them? I mean,
yeah.
Did you see some of them?
Yeah, I've looked through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked through some of them. We just got them.
Yeah.
I just got them this morning.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And we just
I
got
was,
a
like,
chance
scrambling.
To look at them. And there's like dozens of them and try to pick one, you know. But you know, the thing is I noticed, I don't know, but there's a difference in the pictures, obviously. You know, when you're the subject and when I'm the subject and we're together, you make me look better. Okay, But you know, I need to discuss this with you for a second, and that is your beauty, okay? And I'm sure you've been told before and everything. I mean, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but it's a reality, you know? And, I mean, you're more beautiful than most people and stuff. And I always wonder, like, what is it for you? I mean, what's it like to... Because, like I said before, I can't imagine you walking in the street and nobody, like, bugging you. Right? I mean, do you ever go out and people don't bug you?
Yeah, I mean,
really?
If I
don't hit on you all the time.
The thing is, in LA, I'm usually working. I mean, I work every day, so I always have makeup on. I always have my hair done. I'm always put together. Like I heels on high, you know?
Right.
So when I was in Florida, I was always wearing sweats and workout clothes. So it's different.
Yeah.
Now I'm in LA, Yeah, I guess I do, but it's because I don't know. You put yourself
together
heels
or something?
Yeah.
But that's not the point. I mean, the thing is, that's not the point here. You're trying to evade the point that the thing is, and you know, I mean, I think about this sometimes because in a way, you have the power of a big celebrity, and let me tell you why. Because any door would open up for you. And, you know, not to overlook what you have to offer in other ways. But the thing is that just with your looks, I think any door would open to you. I don't think anybody would say no to you for anything. And that's just my opinion. And, you know, so I would imagine people want to either look like you or be with you. And the thing is, that's what a celebrity is. You know, so all I'm suggesting is you can be really rich, okay? You can be really rich. Yeah, you've got some assets, you know, that can make you like famous and rich, you know, because that's what it takes. You know, it's not like you're just another pretty girl on the street, you know, and these pictures show. So, and to test that, we'll post pictures of you and of me, and we'll see how many likes you get. You're going to get hundreds. You know, all you need on Facebook is a picture of a pretty woman, and you get like 1,000 likes, you know? But it's genuine, you know? I mean, people feel this like, wow, you know? She stands out, you know? I got to like this picture. So,
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That made my morning. I was feeling a little bit down because sorry for myself. I woke up with a sore throat, so thank you.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Well, I want you to know I'm not saying this really to compliment or anything. It's just something that has to be talked about, you know?
Well, thank you.
Because, I mean, I think, and you got to utilize it to the best that you can, you know? And, that's all I can say. You know, I mean, if I had those kind of looks and I was a woman, I would stop at nothing, you know, obviously you're not going to sell yourself, but all I'm saying is, just appreciate what you have and use it to the best that you can, you know, because you were given a gift, you know, and more than one, obviously, you know, and I mean, you do the show here, you do shows in other places, you're talented, you know, so, but I personally think I know you like hosting and everything, but you belong in front of the camera, really in front of the camera. Okay. So get all the attention you can. You can be on magazines. I'm telling you, okay. I'm a man. I see a lot of pretty women and you can do it. Okay. So I just thought I'd give you like a pep talk this morning.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. I really do.
So yeah, take that to heart. And every time somebody tries to give you a hard time, you know, just remember.
I am a hard artillery. Yeah, nothing will stop me until I get where I want to be.
Awesome. So, great. So we got that out of the system. And now we're going to bombard you guys with photos at Facebook till you get tired of seeing us. But it was fun, right?
I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love photo shoots.
I know. It's cool. You get to feel like special for an hour or two, you know? So that's funny. And it was fun. And plus it was like on a main street. So everybody's like looking. And it's a weird feeling. You know, I mean, you know, again, you know, when you're a model and stuff, you get used to that after a while, you know, but when you don't do it, you know, ever, then it's weird, you know, to get all the attention on you and stuff, you know. So, and one more thing. So we're going to get to our guest in just a second, and she's going to be a fascinating guest, also related to the pictures, because we met her at the photo shoot. So we'll bring her in just a second, but I wanted to just do a follow-up on the lady that talked about the Kabbalah the other day. And she was hard to understand and everything. I understand that. I get that. But she's filled with information and knowledge and wisdom. So she asked me to go over there and she do a reading for me based on the spiritual and mystical side of Judaism, which is the Kabbalah. So, which involves a lot of things. It's got astrology and numerology and a lot of other things. So, I mean, they've got like amazing like illustrations to illustrate like spiritual things and all that stuff. So it's really interesting to listen to this. So she invited me for 3 hours. to be there. I thought, I can't sit anywhere for 3 hours. You know, I mean, even the best movie, the last time I sat through a 3 hour movie was The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, and somehow I sat through that. But
because it's entertaining.
Exactly. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it, you know. But to sit and talk for 3 hours, I would go crazy. You know, even when I go visit family and stuff, an hour and a half, 2 hours is probably my limit, you know. Mm-hmm. So people are always, why are you leaving early? Why do you always have to leave first? Well, you know what? I get bored. You guys bore me. No, I'm not going to say that. But so my attention span is, you know, 3 hours is a little too much. But so I came in and I told her, you know, I might have to leave a little earlier. So let's try to get as much as we can in. And we ended up sitting there for 3.5 hours and probably would have stayed longer if I didn't get up and leave. So it was just amazing. You know, her place is full of like art that she's done that if you guys want to hear about it, she's got some like spiritual amazing pictures, paintings that she does. And her house is full of them, you know. So it was like inspiring to sit there. But the amazing thing was she did a chart on me just based on the initials of my on my first name and my birth date. Now you have to understand these things are done like based on the Jewish calendar and everything. So because that's how all this wisdom was.
So you have to be
about.
Jewish for her to do this.
No, not at all. Not at all. It just comes from. That's the source of it, you know, that's where it comes from. But no, I mean, you can do it with anyone. That's the point.
So she gave you a reading about your past and future?
Yes, and present as well. And you know what? I got to tell you this. I mean, there's astrologists, there's numerologists, and they're very accurate too. You know, I mean, I salute that. But here, she could pinpoint, you know how sometimes an astrology or a psychic will say, oh, I can see someone here in your life, you know, was there something like this? And, you know, things like that.
Very broad things that kind of then make the person talk more and give her information.
Either that, or just be more vague than that, you know. So what happened is she started breaking down my life to 6 month periods. And she was accurate in each 6 month period. And she says, you know, like windows open, like during the year, you know. So like you get windows of opportunity, but also windows of like judgment and things like that, you know. So because, you know, I mean, basically the soul comes here to correct itself like we talked about before. And so we set the soul sets up challenges for itself before it comes here. And it's pretty predetermined at what age, you know. So, you know, I first started thinking, well, everything can't be predetermined. I mean, we obviously have freedom of choice. And she showed me that we actually have both. You know, things are predetermined, but how we deal with them is our free choice. So it was just amazing to me, you know, how accurate she was. And, I mean, about children and issues you have with them. People that come into your life, lovers, you know, whatever, friends, family, things like that, you know, business, work.
So she was accurate? Because I've been
She was very accurate.
I've been looking for someone to go to, but I'm kind of, I don't.
You don't know where?
Yeah. And when you put a lot of money down for somebody,
right,
they thrive off that and they're not very good.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want
to,
you know.
No, she's not about the money, you know. And I think if you went to her and she met you and everything, she'd probably do it, you know, very, very inexpensively, I'm sure. I'll just talk to her. I'll tell her. I mean, she did it for me for free and I insisted on paying her because I thought, you spent so much time. It's just 3 hours with me. What about all the preparation? I mean, she had like papers full of stuff that she did. So, but she wouldn't take any money from me. So I don't know, you know, but I'll talk to her if you really want to go. It's going to be hard for you to understand her, though, but it's really interesting stuff.
I'd be like, can you please talk slow? Please.
And you know what the funny thing is that she's got, I met her daughter. She's got a 20-year-old daughter. She's got a couple daughters, but, and she speaks like fluent, you know. I mean, she was born here, so she speaks like an American. And so, you know, grow up with that. How do you, like, not get the accent of your mom, you know?
True.
But it does happen because the kids go to school. They learn how to speak correctly. Yeah. And so that's how it works. But she's full of wisdom and everything. And, I mean, I could go on for hours, but we have our guest waiting. And her stuff is pretty related. So, I mean, we can touch on this back and forth. and stuff. And so we have Saren Stiegel in the studio. Welcome to the show. And we met Saren, both Charlotte and I met you the other day when we went to the shoot with Alina, who turned out to be your roommate, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. How long have you guys shared?
Only a few months. But you know, when you find that person, it was like your soulmate from Craigslist.
Wow.
It just worked.
Really?
And that's what Alina said. It took her a while. So you guys found each other on Craigslist?
Yeah. So this actually relates to my business.
Okay.
I believe in this concept of the glow effect. Yeah. When you have created this internal shift in yourself, when you believe in miracles, when you believe in yourself, when you trust the universe,
right?
Somehow you start to attract amazing people, the people that you need to meet. And that's why I was able to go onto Craigslist and meet an amazing person who just works. And I'm just so fortunate to have this opportunity to learn and grow with somebody.
That's true, yeah. And I mean, especially when you share a space, a living space, you know? It's like being married in a way, and you got to be able to get along.
Absolutely.
Right?
And with the glow effect, you can assure that happens on a faster basis.
Right.
You know, I've only been in LA now since the beginning of December.
Really?
And I have a built-in sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll get to your business and the glow effect and everything. I just sort of want to get to it naturally and stuff.
Sure.
And we'll talk about that. But a little bit about you. So you just moved to LA in December?
I just moved to LA in December from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people here from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, but I went to university in New York, NYU.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like growing up in Chicago?
Oh, growing up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you were born in Chicago?
I was born in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
okay.
So I went to law school in Chicago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, so Pittsburgh is where you grew up.
Yeah.
Then you went to NYU.
Then I went to NYU.
And which you have to be smart to get in there anyway.
Pretty
but
smart.
Then you went and got a law degree?
I took a couple years off to travel a lot, and then I went and got a law degree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm leaving the room. She's too smart for me. I don't belong in here.
It's just a lot of really good education.
It
doesn't necessarily mean I'm smart.
No, but you have to be. Come on. I mean, well, at least you have to be a hard worker, you know.
I'm definitely diligent, driven, and a hard worker. I call myself a glow-getter.
Okay, sounds good. She's totally branded herself.
Right? You got to do that, right?
Okay, so what was Pittsburgh like growing
Pittsburgh,
up there?
Well, I grew up in a small town outside of the city of Pittsburgh. And we call it the Swickley Bubble. It's called Swickley, Swickley Village. And, you know, I went to a preparatory school, very traditional, everybody goes to good schools.
Yeah.
And then I knew that small environment wasn't where I thrive, isn't where I thrive.
Wow.
So that took me to New York, to NYU.
Wow. So, but high school you went to in Pittsburgh, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
And so that was like a prep school?
A prep school. So in contrast to a religious school, it's a private school that prepares you for a good college.
Okay.
Yeah. So I graduated with like 85 people and everybody went to college. There wasn't one person who didn't. And I actually got into NYU for acting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I started in theater.
So that's what appealed to you early on?
Early on, yeah. So I found that I was good on my feet. I'm good in front of people. That's where my skill set lies. And so I started at NYU for that. And about a semester in, I transferred out of the theater program, which they told me no one ever does.
Really?
Yeah. And I transferred into cultural anthropology.
Wow.
And I ended up designing my own major in cultural anthropology and social justice because I wanted to find ways to communicate with people and to help people grow and raise themselves up, and why were some people succeeding and others weren't succeeding, and how can we do this whole living thing together.
Right. So that started interesting you early on, as soon as you got into college and stuff. And you said, okay, well, I like acting, but this is really interesting.
Because as I started traveling, I was, I went to South Africa. I was all over
Europe. I lived there for a year.
Really? Where did you live?
In Johannesburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When were you there?
I was there in 2006.
Oh, okay.
And I was mostly in Durban.
Okay.
A few times in Joburg and once in Cape Town.
So did you live there? I mean, that you went back and forth?
Yeah, so I did this program with the School for International Training. The theme of it was reconciliation and development. And I ended up doing this, like, independent study project on one of the shack settlements that had started a collective to help more people in the shack settlements.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was really amazing. So I did a couple of homestays. Then I ended up getting an apartment with some friends and, you know, just doing this research, writing this ridiculously long paper. But most of all, I made connections and saw what it was like to create a social movement.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Did you find the South Africans to be very warm people?
Oh, my God.
Aren't they amazing?
I feel like I still have family there, and it's been how many years?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I remember it occurred to me when we went to... I went to a business meeting there when I lived there, and we were sitting around the table in the executive room. And, I mean, you had people waiting on you, bringing you tea and cake and things like this. I mean, here it doesn't happen.
That's
in business meeting.
Well,
you
know? One of the most pivotal moments of that experience that I can still reflect on is I would go up to these shack settlements where people don't even have enough money to, like, you know.
For food. Right.
But they served me meat.
Wow.
And they were sweeping their dirt floors. And the appreciation of life and love and community is just so different than the way we're raised in the States.
Right.
Neither one of you, were you raised in the States?
No.
No, neither one of you were.
No, like, I did. I grew here since I was 16 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here a while.
So neither of you can relate. But if anybody out there can relate to being raised in the States, we're not raised with this sense of community, of helping our neighbor and knowing that all of us, if one person falls, we're all going to fall.
Right.
It's not like that in England, though.
Okay.
So I do relate.
Okay. There you go. Western countries.
I know. I mean, the English people, stiff upper lip type of a thing, right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They don't show much emotion.
No.
I wonder why that is. And then you go to a place like Italy or something, and the people are very emotional and expressive and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So what a contrast, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no words for the stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially in London, there are people in the South, people like that. I grew up in the North, so it's a lot different there.
Right.
But there's no community, and that's why I feel like I feel fit in better in America, just because everyone in England, everyone just has, they're just not, I don't want to say they're not happy, but they're just not happy with where they are. And when I first went home after living in America, I went to the coffee shop to get my mom a coffee. I was like, have a good day. On the way out, the girl looked at me like I was an alien.
Really?
Like, you're telling me to have a good day? Who are you?
Yeah.
I would say, though, in the States, you have different... You get different reactions depending on where you are. You know, I found LA to, like, the vibration here is so high. People are smiling probably because it's gorgeous and sunny outside. But I know there are a ton of people listening right now, a lot of my friends and family, who are not in Los Angeles.
Right.
And they're in the polar vortex, and they're not as pleased and happy with where they are in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it really depends on where you are.
Where you are, right. Yeah, the place is very important. I noticed that, you know. Some people, if they don't do very well in one place, then they can move somewhere else and they do better, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a flower. It can't grow anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it you have to find a place for
where you thrive.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. So you went to South Africa. Where else did you go?
Oh, gosh. I went to Cuba. I went... That's illegal still, right?
Because I am still an American.
You can't say on radio. You went to Cuba. Wow.
I went all over Central America. I ended up traveling by myself for a few months, which was incredible.
That's incredible.
It was amazing. A backpack, a travel guide, and my passport.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And
it takes a lot of courage to do, though, for a woman and everything, young woman and everything,
right? Yeah, it did. You know, but that's kind of
how it didn't occur to you, like, to be afraid or anything like that?
Oh, sure. You know, fear, and I'm actually writing a book about this right now.
Wow.
Fear is never going to go away. I was nervous about coming on the radio in a part of my brain, you know?
Right.
I'm nervous to get on stage, but at the end of the day, you trust the universe to give you these opportunities. So I had to get to a point, actually it was in South Africa, where one of my friends, her name's Maggie, she looked at me and she said, you know what? If something's going to happen to you, it's going to happen to you in Swickley, it's going to happen to you in Pittsburgh, South Africa, Cuba, wherever you are. Why resist the growth that could come from seeing different cultures or experiencing new things? So I always took fear with, I'm going to have it no matter what.
Right.
How am I going to respond to it?
Right, exactly. And these things are presented to you, and that's the predetermined stuff.
Exactly.
And then you have the choice how you deal with them and everything.
How you respond to uncertainty.
Yeah, and you see, so in spirituality, things are different. That doesn't matter what religion or what cult or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are very many common things in spirituality because...
Absolutely.
Because obviously that's, you know, it's like we have the law of physics, we have the law of spirit, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
That's the thing.
And those laws of spirit are just as real as the laws of physics.
Right.
They really are. Because once you start to experience them and see the shift, like, for example, finding my amazing roommate on Craigslist.
Right.
You can't tell me that that's an accident because it's happened many times in a row.
Really?
So to me, I've kind of packaged laws of spirituality.
Right.
And made it into the Clo Effect.
Wow, awesome. So this is cool. So you've been to Cuba too. What was that like?
That was incredible. One of my dearest professors and now friends, she was living in Cuba. So I got to stay with her and learn a ton from her. And then I would go off on my own to experience other cities in Cuba. But then I would come back and I was able to reflect with her. And, you know, I met her at NYU. So, and she gets social movements.
Right.
So we were able to reflect on the political and cultural and social situations throughout Cuba. It was like
And she says she's not smart, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. Who talks about this stuff?
I don't know. I'm a nerd.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, that's cool because you got a wide, a lot of interests, you know, and that's a good thing. I mean, it enriches you.
Well, I have had to teach myself to love life. And to me, that doesn't necessarily mean like going around and being like all happy and go lucky and bubbly. It's just engaging, engaging with learning, engaging with what's out there, you know, like here's a new store. Here's a new group of people. What do they have to teach me?
Yeah.
And how can I grow? And actually that relates back to Kabbalah.
Right.
Because Kabbalah is the effort to get back to light.
Right.
To reveal your light, to get rid of that darkness, to discern, you know, ideas. And that's basically what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get back to my light. And there are millions of people around me and things that can help me in that process. So and me growing helps others grow because I can then give in a fuller, better way.
Right. You know, and that's the thing is that, I mean, she said, like you mentioned, you know, I mean, these things are going to happen to you. Doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's what you have to deal with in that period of time in your life,
absolutely.
You know? And so that's what she told me because like right now I'm waiting for office space for the new station.
Mm.
And these people have been dragging their feet for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger for me is that I'm going to look like a fool if I don't move in March.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm like really under a lot of pressure to get this done. And I bug him about it every day. And there's nothing really to do other than to sign something and say, okay, let's go ahead, right? And so I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do anymore. And when I talked to the lady with the Kabbalah, it made me realize that, you know, if it doesn't work out, then don't try too hard.
It's not meant to work out.
It's not meant to work out at this point, you know.
Something better is coming along.
Exactly. Yeah, either that or maybe it's just not the time.
Right.
Maybe a couple weeks later would be a better time to do it.
Absolutely. You know? And that's the universe kind of responding to you,
right.
You know, to your effort. You definitely, like, I don't believe in just like sitting on your hands and letting the universe do the work.
Right.
You know, you have to meet the universe halfway. You're putting in the effort, but you can only go so far.
Right.
You know, it's not worth, yes, you can email them every day, but then at the end of the day,
yeah.
You gotta let it go. Yeah.
I know, because, you know, I think, I mean, who am I fighting here? I'm fighting forces that are stronger than I am.
Exactly. You know, the laws of spirituality.
Exactly. You know, and let's say if the road is, you know, if our journey is like a highway or something, you can only go where it's paved. You can't
exactly.
go somewhere else, you know? And
yes.
on that highway, there are going to be things that are waiting for you.
Exactly.
You know?
And what is also important to see is that you can choose the paved road and you can also decide, I'm going to really try to get down the gravel road
right.
and I'm going to really effort to get there. And you're just going to get really tired.
Right.
It's going to be tiring and not
right.
so fun. If you go instead with your intuition and the way the universe is showing you, you know what? He's not going to get back to you.
Right.
Perhaps you're not going to get this show done.
Right.
If you can release it and go the way of the paved road.
Right.
It's just going to be
gonna
more
let it flow.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life's going to be a little easier.
That's true, yeah. And not to worry about me looking like a fool if I don't move in March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've already put it in press releases and everything. Everybody's waiting.
Always.
And, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the harder I try, the less likely it is to happen, you know. So at this point, and the lady says, it's out of my hands now. It went to the landlord and everything. So at this point, I just figured, you know what? As hard as I'm going to try and bug him every day, it's not going to make any difference. It's just going to make me more miserable.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do, right, to be successful. You had to take a risk.
Right.
You had to put out the press releases.
Right.
You had to, you know, yeah. try to get this space.
Right.
That's what we have to do to succeed. You had to move to LA and audition for these things. If you're going to risk greatly, prepare to fail 99% of the time.
Yeah, that's
true. And getting comfortable with that fear of what are people going to think.
Right.
Making your way from what are people going to think to I am enough.
Right.
This is enough.
That's true. That's true. I care too much about what people think. You know, that's a problem. Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's the human experience. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you know?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And excuse me. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Saren Stiegel.
Yeah.
And she's originally from Pittsburgh, then moved to New York, then Chicago, and then who knows where else. I mean, she's been
well,
all over
LA.
The world. Yeah. So, yeah. So let's get back to that. So you finished your law school, right? What school did you go to?
I went to Loyola University Chicago law school.
Okay.
And I went to do social justice work. Mm. Well, somewhere during law school, you know, I was working with people who were wrongly convicted, people who were in prison for many years doing civil rights work. And I loved this. And I started doing criminal defense. But then you get in this law school mode where you realize there aren't a lot of jobs out there and you let fear take over. So I started to respond to uncertainty with, oh no, I gotta get a job. I gotta, fear, more and more fear. So I ended up taking a job, very, very great firm. It's a family law firm, one of the top family law firms in Chicago. I was so fortunate to get this role. But the universe was telling me the whole time, no, like, this isn't right. This doesn't feel good.
Yeah, you're not a lawyer.
Exactly. I was plowing down that gravel road saying, I'm going to make this work.
Right.
So I was there for, you know, a little less than a year. And it was not happy. I turned like a sallow gray. My skin got really bad.
From being in an office all day?
From being in an office and just doing what didn't flow for
right,
me,
okay.
What wasn't my calling. And and I was living from fear on a daily basis. I was living in anxiety, in inadequacy. I was a bitch all the time. And, you know, even though I felt a lot, I was doing good work because my being was so gray and so miserable. I think I was taking more from others than I was giving.
Yeah.
So I decided one day, I woke up, my alarm went off, I started crying, and I said, you know, these can be tears of dread to go into the office, or I can see these tears as a call to action to recreate my life.
Yeah.
So that day I quit my job. Suddenly I got this surge of energy, and the next week my skin cleared, weight fell off.
Wow.
I decided within the next month I was going to start my own business. But at that point I had no idea what it would be called. And then it was one of those beautiful moments in the middle of the night where I woke up and I'm like, it's the glow.
Oh, wow.
And then my mom helped me. My mom is definitely one of my biggest role models. She said, well, it's the effect of the glow. Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the glow effect. Okay. And at that point, I had no idea what it meant. Like, yeah. I got it in a sense, but every day we're still clarifying. This is what I received. This name that has so much meaning beneath it. There are just layers and layers of meaning here.
Right.
Yeah.
And Saren's website is gloweffect.com, and you guys can follow us here. It's rich with so much information. And so you had the name first. I mean, did you know what you were going to do with it?
So, actually, one of my friends, before I launched the website, he said to me, Saren, for about 3 months, you've been telling me what you believe in and what the glow effect believes in.
Right.
You have not told me once what you actually sell. And that's the whole point to me, is this is about the why. This is about a greater concept. I do public speaking. I do one-on-one coaching. I do group coaching. We actually have a course on starting March 17th. You can find it on the website. It's going to be allowing you to go from living ordinary to extraordinary. And it's all about that journey, right? But at the end of the day, this is about a movement that happens internally within ourselves that can create change externally. So when you start to glow, you're going to attract amazing roommates like Alina. Right.
Exactly.
Who introduce you to Sam and Charlotte, and you can get on LA Talk Radio.
Exactly. And then you attract two radio co-hosts, and they bring you on here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to put yourself out there and open to all those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And just like every business, you know, you start out with a sense of where you want it to go. But, you know, I'm building the plane while I fly it. You know, I had a couple-hour conversation with one girl who works with me, and she just asked me all these questions yesterday. She's like, okay, so tell me more about why and who we serve, because we're continually refining our vision and where we want this business to go and the vessel that we are going to use to carry this movement globally, because it's not about me.
Right.
Like, I came up with this idea, but it's about you. It's about, how do we get you to glow? What's your version of success?
That's right. I'm glowing already. Now let's get you to glow.
Be the hero of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about you being, yes.
Yeah. And I mean, you're the real thing. I mean, you're an example of what you're preaching, you know?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, you're happy and stuff. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, when we went into Alina's, that's the first thing you notice is Saren, you know? Because she's like all over the place, very friendly and everything, you know?
I'm all over the place. Yeah.
It's true, though. When you have an energy that people want to grab onto and cling onto and be around, because you are a ray of sunshine. Like, you just brighten people up.
Yes, I am. But I want to be clear. I wasn't always this way.
Right.
My family can vouch I was not always this way. It took a lot of work and a lot of self-discovery and a lot of meditation and yoga and reading and learning and continually engaging in life.
Yeah.
You know, I still have days where I'm like, I've been rejected and I would rather stay in bed.
Yeah.
I think self-discovery is a huge thing that you said. And especially like females these days, they don't want to discover themselves. Like, I have a lot of friends that just want to have a boyfriend.
Yes.
And discover themselves with a boyfriend. And I'm like, you can't expect someone to love you until you love yourself.
It's so true.
And people just forget that they need to grow and find who they are.
Right.
If they truly want to be loved and develop a career, like, you have to be happy with who you are.
It's exactly, I mean, how many times do we, a day, do we blame other people? Do we say, like, you know, it's Charlotte's fault that I'm unhappy. It's my ex-boyfriend's fault that I'm poor. You know, it's the weather's fault that I'm miserable today. Right. Instead of being the hero of our own life, you know, it's not about being a victim. It's about stepping up and saying, like, I am going to own this.
Definitely.
Yeah. This is mine. Right. And you can either make a masterpiece of it
or a disaster.
Or a disaster, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with women, you're right. It's all about finding Prince Charming. And how many women, including myself, I feel like I find him over and over. And then I come to the point where, like, I still unhappy? Well, because I need to find me first.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
And you can be with the greatest person ever, but if you're not comfortable with who you are, you will never be happy.
100%.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. So so you discovered that in Chicago, and you decided then, what brought you to L.A.?
Well, what didn't bring me
to L.A.? Really?
I mean,
had you been here before?
Yeah, I had been here a few times, and, you know, I just want to give listeners a sense. Right now, there's this huge bay window in front of me where you can see houses. It's sunny, blue sky, the mountains. And then I have Sam on my left and Charlotte on my right. If you could tell me why I wouldn't want to be in LA at this moment, I can't say enough about how amazing and beautiful life is consistently when I am here.
Yeah.
I have never loved a place so much. And everybody said to me, you're going to hate L.A.
Right.
Everybody's
a lot of people
superficial,
do.
Yeah. You know? But it's the vibration, again, it's so high. The creativity is something that I'd never experienced in Chicago. I've experienced a little in New York, but being in the legal field in Chicago, it was difficult. Here, everybody is creative.
Right.
And it awakens that creativity in all of us. So you start having these ideas. And when I say creative, I don't just mean like everybody's a painter. Like, creativity comes in the form of businesses, ideas, you know, screenwriting, and everybody's doing it constantly.
Right.
And it's so, it's so invigorating.
Right. And that's the thing. When people badmouth people in LA, it's just, it's a reputation. And you know what? Many people are like that. But there's so many great people in this town.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we have 3.8 million people in LA. There's no way that everybody is going to be an ass, you know? And people move here from everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, so some bring with them bad things, some bring with them good things. And, you know, so, but we all have to sort of like get along here. And for the most part, we do, you know, I mean, it's really a melting pot here.
It really is. And that's why the glow effect is so important.
Okay.
Because if you're glowing,
right,
you're going to start to attract people, the good ones, in my opinion. And, and when I say the good ones, I mean the good ones for you.
Right.
You know, the good ones for me, the people that are going to lift me higher and going to teach me the lessons that I need to know.
Right.
So if you create this radiance in yourself, you can bypass all the superficial people.
Right.
You know, you can find the people, the quality people here. And there are so many.
There are. You know, I mean, I meet a lot of great people here.
Amazing.
And, you know, I mean, I used to badmouth LA also and stuff. But I was miserable inside, you know.
Yes.
And I felt it's LA. So I went and moved. And then I thought, if I go back, I'll be depressed again and everything. But you know what? When it was time to come back, I came back and I rebuilt myself stronger than ever.
That's,
you know,
so important.
Yeah. So, listen, I mean, with you, it's like we could talk for hours. And I'm already inviting you again.
Oh, thanks.
But let's get a little bit to, I mean, we talked about the theory and all that. But tell us what it is that you do. You have the website. It's full of information.
Your pitch is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you... So what it is that you do for people? I mean, do people come to you?
So I get a combination. I have a lot of people that come to me. A lot of professionals, a lot of actors, you know, people in the creative field. Because, you know, while I get professionals who have kind of a prescribed path, you know, if you're going to go to law school, you take the LSAT, you go to law school, you pass the bar, then you get a job, then you become a junior partner, senior partner. You know, the path is, it's easy to follow. When you're in a creative field, it's much more all over the place.
Right. You know, there's no structure.
Right. You have to create it yourself, and what you have to find persistence, and you have to find this like fearlessness in yourself. And a lot of people are struggling to do that. So I get such a great combination of groups of people. To help them attract opportunities. So I do one-on-one coaching. I also do these courses. So in this 3-week course coming up on the 17th, you know, we're going to really dive into what it means to create this internal shift, to go from fear to love. Mm. You know, how can we love ourselves instead of fear ourselves?
Yeah.
And then we go into belief systems. You know, do you believe that there's only, you know, a finite amount of money? Or do you believe there are unlimited resources that you can tap into? And then how are you affecting your change? Are you building your dream by, you know, staying in bed and watching Scandal? Mm-hmm. Or are you getting out of bed and convincing yourself it's not about how do I do this? Just a knowing. You know, everybody says, well, how do I start a business? I don't know the first step. And it's like, you can figure it out. You just have to have the vision.
Right.
And don't let the hows stop you. Mm. So it's this process that we delve into. I've created this whole glow effect process to explore this energy and how to create it in yourself.
Wow.
And I, you know, I do public speaking. I have a lot of opportunities. Our Facebook page is filled with inspiration.
Wow.
Twitter, all that fun stuff.
So give out the Twitter and Facebook so people can find you.
So Facebook is /theglow effect.
Yeah. Actually, they can just go to your website,
it's on
right?
the website.
Otherwise, nobody's going to write it down.
Exactly. And you can find on Twitter, our handle is youaretheglow. Why? Because it's about you and it's not about me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, but you're precipitating it all. And that's the thing, you know, you put people on the right course, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. You tell them that's your highway right here, right?
Well,
yeah.
I know that I have had so much beautiful assistance and help along my journey. A good part of it I've had to do alone for sure.
Right.
But to have people assisting you along the way is invaluable. To have a community that's continually lifting you up is so priceless.
Right.
So if we can be that for people, if you can't afford my personal services right now, don't worry. Just get involved in the community and you will be sure to get inspiration.
Awesome. Everybody go to gloweffect.com and you can find out more about Saren and everything. Your last name is Stiegel. Are you Jewish?
Yes,
okay.
I am Jewish.
Yeah, because, I mean, you did mention Israel, but now I'm thinking you're wearing earrings with Star David and stuff on them. So
I would say I'm Jewish culturally.
Okay.
I'm very...
You're not practicing religion.
I don't practice Judaism.
Right. Most people today do not. You know, it's just people that come from religious backgrounds or things like this. But but you see, Charlotte, I mean, Jewish people can be nice. They can be smart. I don't know why everybody hates us.
I don't hate at all. I know my grandma is listening right now, and she would want me to assure you there is a special force among Jewish people, but we're good people.
Right.
No, I totally agree. I have a lot of Jewish friends, and you guys just have a different demeanor about yourselves, and I like it.
Interesting.
I think what happens is community and family is important simply because there's not that many Jews, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was always important also to keep the heritage going. And if you think about it, I mean, historians have said that the story of the Jewish people is the most remarkable because even though they never had a land of their own, they never had the military, they never had any kind of ability to unite themselves, an economy or anything, yet they survived and out-survived all the empires that existed, the Roman Empire and the Greeks and all that. They're all gone, but the Jewish people are still there.
Mm-hmm. The drive among Jewish people. I mean,
I think that's what I'm attracted to. And especially in L.A., there's a lot of Jewish people and All the ones that I come across are very driven, very successful.
All across the country. I mean, there's a reason stereotypes of, like, Jewish people being the lawyers, the doctors, and the accountants exists.
But it's true, yeah. It's very true because, you know, they try to get... And I think that's one of the reasons that Jews have been persecuted and hated because, you know, I mean, it's like I think people felt that these people know something that we don't, you know?
Yeah.
How can they manage to keep their communities and families together and we can't, you know, and things like this. So it just led to a lot of fear of the Jewish people and stuff and, you know, nearly a total extermination. But that's beside the point. So you can see Jewish people are nice, they're smart, they can lead.
But I love the Jewish education that we're giving out on LA Talk. Yeah, there you go.
Well, they're stuck with it. You know, they've got an Israeli odor.
There you go. No, I love it. I love it. And I know my grandma is thankful right now.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, check out Glow Effect. And I saw, do you have books there, too? Is that what those pictures are?
There aren't books right now. Those are programs on the side. I am actually working on my... I'm doing a 30-day challenge right now.
Wow.
I've been writing a book for about 6 months, and now it's time to really up my game here. So my Alina and I are waking up at 6 a.m. every morning before our workday starts to do our writing session, and I'm going to get this done.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe you were like up at 8 o'clock. You had already been to a hike when we came there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was up at 6, darling.
Yeah. I know. Wow. I know we got there at 1 and you had just come back from the hike, right?
Well, I work for about 4 hours before I go to hiking or go to yoga. It's important because you have to get that personal time, personal practice in there, some type of meditation.
So it clears your mind and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
So it's good to go on a hike, not necessarily for the exercise, but for the...
For everything.
For everything.
To be present, to get yourself outside, and yoga as well, to turn inward.
Yeah.
You know, to really appreciate your breath.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that enough. Breath is life force.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to end. It was a very spiritual show.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. I need some spirituality in my life.
Good.
You know, I've been too involved with business and everything else. You
know? Business and spirituality at the same time.
Exactly. Well, there you know, the pleasure of the flesh, you know. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. Charlotte, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to post some amazing pictures online. Well, at least of Charlotte. And we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Right here on LA Talk Radio.